finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
The trial of Karen Reed, it continues on, and more testimony, making more and more people confused. That's how I would put it. Joining me to discuss, Bob Motta, host of the podcast Defense Diaries. Go and download that right after you're done listening to this. Bob, another week in. What's been your takeaways thus far?
I mean, plain and simple, I don't buy either theory.
Me too. That's kind of where I'm at.
I mean, it's like the state's Commonwealth is not proving anything to me at this point. Mm-hmm. It, you know, and granted, we still have to wait for their forensic stuff and their experts to come on. And presumably they'll have some kind of evidence that the car made contact with John O'Keefe, or, you know, they'll be able to track the movements of the vehicle, or they'll be able to prove that it was in reverse. The ME will come on and testify. I mean, we've never seen like the full autopsy report. I think all of us that follow the case have seen various photographs mm-hmm. from the autopsies, but we've never seen the full report. At least I haven't. Mm-hmm. You know, we know what they're going to say. They're going to say it's inconsistent with an altercation, that it's consistent with him being struck by a vehicle. And we know the defense is going to put the same thing on too. Like the inconsistencies between these witnesses, like during the state's case in chief, namely like the Alberts and the Nagels with yep. respect to who was where was the Lexus. Like you had Julie Nagel come on with, I guess what you'd call a bombshell, saying that, you know, when they were pulling away from the house, being driven by Matt McCabe and Jen McCabe up in the front, and her and Sarah Levinson are in the back seat.
Yeah.
She looks over across Sarah and she sees like a big blob, a mm-hmm. lawn blob.
Yep.
Claims that she mentions it in the car. And, you know, then for the first time ever on the stand yesterday, she says it was like 5 to 6 feet in length.
Yeah.
So, you know, but then you've got, you know, her brother giving completely different testimony that, you know, the vehicle was still there when his sister came out to talk to him about staying at the party, you know, because her testimony was that, like when she was looking out the window, she saw the car make the 3 moves. And by the time she goes out and talks to her brother, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there's no body there. They don't see anybody. To me, it's just a mess. Like, I don't know how a jury is putting this thing together in their minds in terms of this timeline and how they're reconciling all these inconsistencies with everybody.
It's observations from all different people at different points in time, and observations are not always the most accurate. It's not just anybody's making anything up, because I really don't get that vibe from anybody. I mean, what's your take on all the witnesses thus far? I mean, I'm not feeling anything in terms of anybody trying to hide anything, trying to cover anything up. It just seems like really just normal people going, here's what I remember, you know, do with it what you will.
Yeah, no, I get the same. And also include drinking, you know, drinking was another factor as well. I mean, everybody had been drinking for hours, you know, starting some of them were at McCarthy's and went to the waterfall and then to the house. You know, I mean, everybody was consuming alcoholic beverages last night, which is always going to affect your memory. Always. I don't care who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, so taking into account those things, I agree. I think certainly there's been things that have come off as not necessarily lies, but certainly inconsistent. I thought that Brian Albert was kind of slippery with like why he turned his phone in. You know, like the timing of it seems a little weird, but I mean, does any of it point to like something went down in that house? Not really, you know, but like, I'm not buying that she hit him with the car either. Like I'm firmly in my own theory, which is that he slipped and fell and cracked his skull on the, like, I mean, that injury to the back of the head is to me completely consistent with somebody slipping, both feet coming out from under you.
Yeah.
You don't have the time to break your fall. You smash your head, you know, like in the driveway. Yeah. And people are like, well, how does he get to the flagpole? Well, you don't die instantly.
Yeah.
If you smash your head.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could probably get yourself up to all fours. Maybe he goes down again, smashes his face, then stumbles over to, like,
yeah,
who knows? And to me, and then like I had a guest on yesterday, Andrea Burkhardt, who's super bright, an attorney. She's like, look, you know, like these wounds, when we get the ME on, like the wounds to the arm very well could have been post-mortem, which would make sense. Like there are wild animals out there.
Yeah.
You know, all over the place. I mean, my neighborhood, we have coyotes all over the place.
Yeah.
Like we're always in our next door neighbor app or whatever it's called. You know, people are like, oh, saw a coyote over here. Watch your dogs.
Yep.
And I mean, if there's a body out there, it's not beyond the scope of reason that what I say happened. Like, it, to me, it's as plausible as the other two theories.
Yeah. I mean, all of this, it just seems like a lot of very plausible things that happened that don't add up to murder and don't add up to a conspiracy. And at the end of the day, it like, that's just kind of where it feels like it's going to sit.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.